It's Big News Wednesday. Welcome back, everybody, to the Big Wednesday Show with me, John Adirola, and Sharon Reed is here. Mixing it up on a Wednesday, Sharon. I like it. It's bold, but I think it's going to work. Anyway, obviously, Sharon's here every Wednesday, but we're glad to have you here.
I'm happy to be here, and I can't wait. I know it's going to be a great show.
It is going to be a great show, but not only will today be a great show, everyone should know, that rhymes. I've been reading a lot of Dr. Seuss, that coming up next week, Sharon is going to be leading two episodes of The Damage Report, because I regrettably will not be here next week. Sorry, everyone, but you're going to be in great hands. Sharon's going to be leading a couple shows. Francesca's going to be leading a couple shows. Jordan Yule is going to be leading a show. So it's going to be a very exciting week. Everybody's going to be bringing their own, like, you know, interests and perspective to the show. So it should be very exciting. And I want everyone to enjoy it exactly as much as normal, but no more. And then we'll be okay. But anyway, glad to have you here. We got a lot to talk about on today's show. Not only the incredibly tenuous position of the Republican majority in the House, it could shift in the wrong direction for the Republicans any given day. But we have some legal updates for Donald Trump. Not all of them bad news for him, actually. He got a little bit of good news in one of the cases. Although there's a major caveat on that, that I feel like the headlines covering the story are really downplaying. So we're going to give you the good news for Trump, but also keep it real as well. We've got Katie Britt continuing to try to repair her image after the State of the Union. She sent out a fundraising email and I love it. So we'll have that for you. And should you ever hope to retire? Only if you're a big, stupid, dumb donkey, says Ben Shapiro. So we'll have that as well. And that's all just in the first hour. Coming up in the aftermath, we've got an interesting argument for why TikTok should be banned. It has to do with Taylor Swift, of all things, and Donald Trump's effort to unload Truth Social. We'll break that down and more. With all that said, Sharon, are you ready to do this thing?
I've been ready, born ready.
Born ready. Ready to do it, ready to lead. We're going to see it in real time. Let's jump into this.
This place just keeps going downhill, and I don't need to spend my time here. We've taken impeachment and we've made it a social media issue as opposed to a constitutional concept. Mike Johnson's ability to talk me into staying here is going to be about as successful as his ability into talking me into unconstitutional impeachments.
Yep, Ken Buck has had enough and he's moving on earlier than previously planned. He already wasn't going to stick around after the remainder of his term in office was up, but now he's just straight up leaving. And I always find that to be the most interesting thing that a congressperson can do. Like, you know, you could just pull a Kyrsten Sinema and just not do your job, but still get paid if you want. No, he doesn't want to. He wants out. And that has caused utter chaos for the Republican majority. And stick around to find out a notable figure we often talk about on the show. It's causing a little bit of trouble for her as well. But I want to give you a little bit more of his thought process. He was speaking with Dana Bash on CNN. Why did he decide to leave even earlier than previously planned? Take a look.
Everywhere I go in Colorado, Dana, I hear that people are not happy with Trump and they're not happy with Biden. And I think we need to change our electoral laws here. And I have a passion for that. And I'm going to leave and I'm going to find the right organization to join. And I'm going to start working on that issue. We have to have better candidates up and down the ballot, not just president, but Senate, House, local offices. We've got to find better ways to elect candidates and bring America together.
Is he going to be running on the no labels ticket? Is that what he's saying there? I'm not sure. I don't think that's what it is. I think he's going to become a lobbyist for some organization. Best case scenario, ranked choice voting. Worst case scenario, just a big right wing lobbying group or something like that. I don't know. That remains to be seen. But we will get to that someday. Right now, we need to talk about Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, and his slim majority. Following the departure, which is just days away, Republicans will hold just a 218 to 213 majority, meaning that only two defections can be allowed for an entirely party line vote to work. Now, it's going to get even worse for him in two different ways. The way that most people, I think, knew coming into today is that Democrats are expected to win an upcoming next month New York special election, meaning that the GOP would only be able to bear a single defection to be able to pass things along a party line vote. But it gets even worse than that because Ken Buck isn't just leaving. He isn't just slapping Mike Johnson across the face and getting peacing out of here. He also says more Republican resignations are coming. Now, he could have been a little bit clearer about that. I'm not sure if he means more gonna be like, I'm not running for re-election. And there's been some of that even just in the past couple of weeks. Or if he means that potentially more could just leave before their term is done. And if even one more did, then he's kind of speaker, Mike Johnson, but not that much. And look, there's a little bit of good news coming up. Kevin McCarthy's seat, that special election is coming up in a month, maybe 6 weeks, something like that. So that'll help once they get that person back. But if they suffer multiple defections, even that won't be enough to save the speaker. And Sharon, at this point, I'm curious what you think about Republicans just fleeing, what Republicans are gonna be able to get done. What do you think?
Not much, but are they really getting anything done now? I love Ken Buck's speech in the hallway there. He also was complaining that he was third in line and got to speak last in the committee meeting. He's taking a match to everything. And when he says that more Republicans are going to resign, I think he means that he's having pretty much a regular Thursday night card game. And this whole thing is plotted out. So just wait for it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and as I said, there's other wrinkles to it as well that we need to get to. And we're gonna talk about the trouble in the Republican caucus. I wanna stay on Mike Johnson for 1 second though, because this is a guy who I'm sure it was like his life's ambition when he became speaker or whatever, and it has not gone well for him. He could get voted out at any moment. We know that they've now got that power. One person could trigger a vote of no confidence effectively and yeet him on out of his position. But it's not even like the strictly political stuff. Because he ran, that was how we found out that he's got that weird porn sensing app on his phone and his kid's phone. Like, we learned way too much about this guy. And he just wants to be respected. Well, he wants to be respected. He also wants America to be dominated by conservative Christianity. He wants those two things. And so he tweeted this. It was that the delegation from Poland had come and he'd met with him. And so you see, if we bring up this tweet, he's got the triple flags and he's shaking a foreign dignitary's hand and everything. And he's like, look at me, I'm a respectable person that foreign leaders want to meet with. But they are only there to get him to change his mind on blocking aid to Ukraine. That they, in their appearances, outside of the context of just his tweet, are saying could cost thousands of lives. They're saying that he potentially could lead to the deaths of thousands of men, women, and children. They weren't just there to shake your hand and say that you're cool. They think that you're like potentially lethally wrong on this issue. And so this guy just like bumbles from one weird own goal to the other. Sharon, like, do we think he's gonna make it to November? Is he gonna stick around? Is there any way that he could repair his speakership?
No, is the short answer. Listen, they met with him under duress. They're trying to save humanity. And he thinks it's because they respect him. The guy is delusional, okay? He takes the same glamour shot over and over again. I mean, that was the same shot as his official portrait. The same shot as he took with the leaders of Poland. He just doesn't have a clue. And he is hanging on by a thread, but he was when he took the job, John. I mean, it's just, it's crazy town, even more than usual. But it's just that reality show where you're kind of like, this is maybe a little over the top. They should dial it back a bit. It's tough to watch.
Yeah, yeah. And look, we tune in for the chaos. We also tune in because like generally my approach would be, you know, they're not able to get things done. Well, anything that they would want to get done, and there isn't much, is bad. So it's good that they're incompetent. But that said, there's the occasional thing like Russia may conquer Ukraine, where it's like, it would kind of be good if we had a functioning government. Like, and that's not just me saying this. Even Senate Minority Leader, as of right now, Mitch McConnell, said, we don't have time for all this back and forth over Johnson on Ukraine. We've got a bill that got 70 votes in the Senate, and it did. It was a 70 to 29 vote to approve $95 billion in aid, a package where a lot of it goes to Ukraine. There's money for Israel, Taiwan, and Gaza as well. So like he's just in a very difficult position where he doesn't have the respect of his caucus. They love the idea that they could kick someone out if the speaker does something they don't like. And that's, I don't know how you dig yourself out of that hole. In any event, We talked about Ken Buck. He's not the only one who's having some issues with the Republican Party. It's time to once again hear from Chip Roy.
Another member of Congress resigned today. So now I'll be told, Chip, we only have a one seat majority or two seat majority. I don't even know what it is anymore. Let me ask you a question. Does it matter? In 2018, we had the House, we had the Senate, we had the White House, and we had a bigger majority than we have today. And we utterly failed to secure the border. Totally dropped the ball. Didn't do it.
He's right. What does it, after all, matter? Like, does it make it less likely that you can pointlessly impeach people who haven't committed any high crimes and misdemeanors? Like, what exactly? Like, yeah, they want a big, you know, buffer if they can have it. But what's the difference? That's a Republican congressman saying it. He's been saying, like, he keeps giving this speech, basically. We're going to give you a little bit more of what he had to say, and then we'll show you the history of it. But let's roll some more video.
No, we're not going to just pass the buck and say that, oh, any president could walk in and secure the border. I saw former President Trump make that allegation earlier today on one of his social media posts. All the president has to do is declare the border is closed and it's closed. Well, with all due respect, that didn't happen in 2017, 18, 19, and 20. There were millions of people who came into the United States during those 4 years.
I mean, is he wrong? Probably on almost everything he believes, but is he wrong here? No, they don't do anything. And like, look, the vast majority of members, the Republican members of the House, know that they're mostly there to just stop things from happening. They run on things, but they don't want to do anything. The people who have funded their campaigns have everything that they want. They've gotten their tax cuts. They've gotten their, you know, they've gotten their money. You know, maybe they want some more money someday, but there's not like there's a long list of like legislation having to do with like social stuff that they actually want to pass. They're mostly there to just stop things from happening. But if you are one of the rare Republicans who are like, maybe I take seriously some of the things we pretend are crises, then it's got to be frustrating. When you get into office, or even in the case where he talked about, they had unified control and still they just don't do anything because there's nothing they truly think should be done. They think of government as the great villain. Then I could see how that would be frustrating. And so he's given versions of the speech before. I don't think it has much of a chance of breaking through to other Republicans, either the elected Republicans or the base. But I like that there's at least some opposition within the party. Sharon, what are your thoughts?
I like it too. And I like that as he was, you know, ranting there. Listen, you said chaos, but this is worse than that. Okay. You have Republicans who are standing up publicly telling the truth for the first time, some of them in years, and uttering, dare he say, he mentioned Trump. He mentioned Trump by name and said, you're wrong. So they've got to figure out how to get the prisoners back in line here, or else, hey, the sky's the limit. But you're right, all they've done is obstruct and then obstruct some more. They've obstructed so much, it's difficult to figure out what you want to stop next, okay? Mm-hmm. What is next on the list?
Yeah, it's not like they're working on like comprehensive legislation to make American schools better. I don't know, we want to build a bunch of new bridges. Like they're not working on anything. Like I wish we could have like a live view of the offices of different Republican congresspeople. Like best case scenario, you catch them fundraising. Worst case scenario, you catch them like watching Beetlejuice. They're not meeting with experts. They're not meeting with constituents. There's no plan. We could impeach Mayorkas. We could impeach Biden. Can we impeach Hunter Biden? We'd probably have to get him elected first, but then we could impeach him. That's all that's going on. And if you're a serious Republican, that should be very frustrating to you. But I want to turn now to a different frustrated Republican, frustrated about something else. And it means we're going to have to once again talk about Ken Buck. Republican Ken Buck's shock departure from the House has put Lauren Boebert in an incredibly difficult position that could imperil her political future. So with him leaving, they have to have a special election. Now, he was already planning to leave in November. That's the new district that Lauren Boebert decided to give the middle finger to her district to instead run there. But now they have to have a special election in addition to the election that's still going to happen in November. The Democratic governor of Colorado announced that the special election would be on June 25th. That's the same day as the primary that Boebert is involved in. And depending on which poll you're looking at, in second, third, or fourth place, even after Donald Trump has endorsed her, although we'll return to that. So the primary is going to be decided, as most are, by GOP primary voters. But this special election involves a group of local party officials who are going to decide each party's nominee for that special election. I am assuming that the Republican nominee is the one that's going to win. This is a more red district than the third district that Lauren Boebert is fleeing. So hypothetically, Lauren Boebert would want to be that person. Because if you are the nominee, you're almost certainly going to win the special election. And then if you're the incumbent, theoretically, you should win in November. But the issue is that to be that nominee, she would have to leave the third district, not even in the way that she already has. She'd have to stop being the congressperson for the third district, which is difficult. And also, by the way, would lead to a second special election needing to be had. It would be the sort of a chain special election thing, which the party doesn't want. It is admittedly confusing. And she thinks that as well. She says this has a lot of potential to confuse voters, which is problematic. She was doing a Twitter space with Matt Gaetz and George Santos, which, why? But she was. Gaetz said it's some crazy banana republic s you've got going on in Colorado. I mean, kind of, not like it's a special election, like we do those in all sorts of states. But she says it's kind of swampy. And all throughout the morning, we've been waiting to find out, will she do it? She had said she doesn't like the process, but wasn't willing to commit to whether she was going to try to put her name forward, which would mean abdicating her seat. Well, we can now say, as we're live, she is not going to be trying to be that nominee. She says, I will not further imperil the already very slim House Republican majority by resigning my current seat and will continue to deliver on my constituents' priorities. That's a joke. While also working hard to earn the votes of the people of Colorado's 4th district who have made clear they are hungry for a real conservative. Wait, so are the people of the 3rd district not hungry for a real conservative? Like, oh, I'm still going to do the work for them as I actively seek to no longer need to represent them. It's such a weird message. She had said she would not allow herself to be selected as this nominee. And maybe that is true. She gives some legitimately good reasons for not wanting to do this. But there's also no guarantee that she even would be the choice for that seat. So maybe it's kind of easy to pull her name if she doesn't think that she'd be chosen anyway. Sharon, what do you think about this?
This is loopy. Okay. And again, it's delicious. She's another one who's gotten nothing done while she's there except trying to trip Marjorie Taylor Greene as she runs down the hall. This is fitting, okay? It's just fitting. But maybe Matt Gaetz and George Santos will campaign for her and help her succeed and stay a member of Congress. But I doubt it, okay? I doubt that would work anyway. She's just all over the place, and bring on the slimmest majority, hopefully none ever. It's coming down the pike at them.
Yeah, I don't know what she's getting out of doing a Twitter meetup with Matt Gaetz and George Santos. Like if you're trying to present yourself as a serious person, so serious that even though you're a carpetbagger, we should still want you to be our representative in the 4th district or whatever. Why are you hanging out with a guy who is literally expelled from Congress? A guy who lied about the Holocaust, lied about 9/11, lied about cancer dog money. Like why are you hanging out with him? She took him to the State of the Union. Why are you so attached to this guy? He's from New York, you're Colorado.
Yeah, she better check her designer belts. I mean, you always leave it. He stole his roommate's belt, okay? The designer belt. This guy has not, I guess you shouldn't say someone has no redeeming qualities, but you are who you hang out with. Mm. We kind of can judge you a little bit, you know? And this is her choice. This is who she's choosing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Matt Gaetz has his own issues, you know, with allegations, which you can Google, But you know, it's not like Lauren Boebert is one of those people who's really stressed, you know, that there's elite pedophiles that we need to look into and, you know, people in elected office are getting away with murder. She's never done that, so it's perfectly fine. So anyway, look, I think that this might be the right choice for her in that leaving your seat prematurely is really rough. The party would be mad at you for doing another special election that the Democrats would probably win in the 3rd district right now. So I get that, but that does mean that she's now, I guess, like maybe going up against the incumbent. I don't even know how it's going to shake out. As she said, it is confusing, but I do think that it hurts her chances. There's going to be another person who will now have sort of been chosen by the people, and that certainly doesn't make it any easier for her to stay in Congress. In any event, we do need to take the first break of the show, but when we come back, we're going to check in on a couple of legal updates having to do with Donald Trump across two different topics. So one is the Georgia case having to do with the election subversion there, and then his upcoming hush money case, the Stormy Daniels case. We've got some interesting and fun updates on that as well after this. Okay, one and all, let's jump into some legal updates, starting with this.
What is happening is that Judge Scott McAfee is dismissing several of the charges here in Georgia against former President Donald Trump, six of the charges.
Yes, good news for Donald Trump in one of his cases, at least. This is, of course, the Fulton County investigation into him and a number of other co-conspirators' efforts to overturn the results of that election. The Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee has tossed out six of the counts against former President Donald Trump and the co-defenders, three of them specific to Donald Trump, three of them affecting the co-defendants as well. But there are still quite a few charges remaining, so Donald Trump, don't celebrate just yet. And if you're feeling a little bit down as a result of this news, there is a very important caveat that I feel like is being downplayed by the media. So we're gonna get to that in just a sec. But I wanna let you know about what these charges that are now being vacated are and why the judge is doing this. Because you might think, oh, this is another one of those things where the judge is trying to side with Trump. Maybe, maybe not. We're gonna dive into the evidence. So the three that are being vacated against Trump and the three others have to do with soliciting elected officials to violate their oaths of office. Two of them for Trump have to do with the phone call, the perfect phone call that he had with Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, back on January 2nd, 2021, where he asked him to find him exactly the number of votes he needs to win the election. Now, a lot of people see that and think, if anything is soliciting elected officials to violate their oaths of office, that has got to be it, right? But the interesting thing is the judge doesn't necessarily disagree. So here's what the judge said. The court's concern is less that the state has failed to allege sufficient conduct of the defendants. In fact, it has alleged an abundance. Doesn't mean that he buys the evidence, but they've presented a lot, which is good news. However, the lack of detail concerning an essential legal element is, in the undersigned's opinion, fatal. As written, these six counts contain all the essential elements of the crimes, but fail to allege sufficient detail regarding the nature of their commission, i.e., the underlying felony solicited. So basically saying, what exactly is the crime that the violation of the oath is supposed to be going towards? But while that's frustrating, and in particular, whenever it's like, yeah, no, it certainly seems like he did it, but like there's some technicality that you need to deal with or whatever. That's really frustrating. But it's not fatally frustrating in this case, because the judge points out that the prosecution can theoretically refile the charges with additional details. Now, that does not mean that he's then going to accept them, but it does mean that these charges are not simply dead forever. So don't get too depressed about that. And Trump still faces a half dozen other charges that were not vacated. So a little bit of good news for Donald Trump, and we have to give him his due on that, but potentially some bad news and potential updates to come. Sharon, what are your thoughts?
When I first heard it, I said, wow, this judge is overruling a grand jury. You know, grand jury said this is the case here. Wasn't like an information or something like that. But once you dig deeper into this, you say, well, listen, can you imagine being on trial with a dozen charges against you and a judge throws out six and you're still facing a huge uphill battle? That's all that happened here. I think he's a reasoned judge. It gives me pause that he's only 34, but this was well thought out. And as you said, she can refile this. Will she need to? Doubt it. But will she? Maybe.
He's 34.
He's only 34. Can you believe it?
How is he? He's a judge and he's 34?
34, appointed by Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia. And yeah, 34 years old.
What am I doing with my life? Anyway, how is that even possible?
I'm not sure. He is.
You know what? I'm back to not trusting him. That's too young. Anyway,
he's got two kids. Does that help? Two young kids. Okay.
A little. Does he accept them regardless of their life choices? But also, he literally can't be president. but he is a judge.
Right.
So that is interesting. So he can rule on a president, but he can't be a president. That is very weird.
You got it.
How did you know that anyway?
I just read a lot and just said, wow. Okay. See, I've got to do more. I've got to keep more. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely do. Yeah, I get frustrated enough when I see like successful like wrestlers in WWE that are like 28 and I'm like, oh God, I'm so much older than that. But like a judge, Jesus. Yeah, anyway, that's the Florida, that's the Georgia stuff, the Fulton County stuff. But let's move to another topic. There was a lot of misinformation going around in advance of Trump's Stormy Daniels hush money trial. And we want to do some fact checking. We think it's an important part of what we do here and we're going to do it. And it's a couple different factors. One is a quote that's been attributed to Stormy Daniels. This is the quote. You can see it being spread in meme form saying, I had no idea if he had penetrated me and I am a professional. He just kept yelling, I'm huge, I'm the greatest. And then he made gurgling sounds and fell asleep. Hey, it was a job and the check cleared. So they sent that to Stormy Daniels and she confirmed that that is not the case. And look, is this stupid and salacious? 100%. But she has revealed some very humiliating and embarrassing things about him in the past. There are references to mushrooms. There are talks about being spanked by a rolled up copy of, I think, Time magazine. Maybe it was Forbes actually. And so it's not impossible that someone could see this and think that it was true. It sort of fits into the canon of her work, but it's not true. She did not say that. So bear that in mind. Now, arguably more substantively, there is what I see as a little bit of confusion going around in terms of Donald Trump's legal strategy, his defense in this case. Because there are a lot of headlines that you might have seen going around this morning that say something like this. Trump plans to cite advice of lawyers in hush money case defense, if we could bring up this headline. And that is not technically true. There's a ton of headlines that say that. And if you read the articles, you get a little bit of like nuance, but it's not actually true. They're not going to be invoking a formal advice of counsel defense in this, okay? But they signaled in a court filing that Trump will argue he did not intend to break the law, quote, because of his awareness that various lawyers were involved. Those are not the same thing. Basically, what he plans to say is he couldn't have known it was illegal because there were lawyers around and surely they would have stopped him if he was going to do something illegal. That is not advice of counsel. That's not really a defense at all. I don't know what that is, but that's what his defense is going to be. And so you might wonder, well, if that's the pathetic version, why not actually do the advice of counsel, which is a real defense strategy? Well, an advice of counsel defense would require that Trump prove he acted on the advice of lawyers, including proving he fully disclosed his actions to lawyers, asked for advice, learned his conduct was legal, and acted in good faith. Now, in theory, if he had done all of that stuff and then had committed something that turned out to be a crime, that could be a defense against the crime. And you could sort of understand why that would be. If you do all of that due diligence and they lead you astray, well, at that point, it seems like you really didn't know that it was illegal. But he's not doing that because he didn't do any of that. He didn't ask for advice. He wasn't told that it was legal. And there's very much a reason to believe that the hush money payments he was paying, and more importantly, the fact that he, after the fact, tried to classify them as legal expenses, which they 100% were not, was a crime. And so I get why he's not taking that defense. The thing that he's throwing out, I don't even know what that is or what effect that's going to have on the trial. But Sharon, I am curious about your opinion.
I mean, he left out the part where he directed the lawyers didn't tell him to do it. He told the lawyers and everyone else, this is what we're doing here. But he seems to be getting away with these delay tactics and just throwing nonsense against the wall to see if it sticks. I mean, after all, he's not an attorney, but someone is putting together these briefs and filing them with the court. And I would think that any respectable lawyer, well, first of all, wouldn't be representing him perhaps, but any respectable lawyer would say, I can't write that. I'll be a laughingstock. I'll get in trouble with the judge. But he seems to get away with this time and time again.
Yeah. We'll see. He's getting in a little bit of trouble with the judge. Not trouble, really. But the other update is that after he sought a delay in this trial, which, by the way, is coming up on March 25th, 12 days from now, as of when we're filming, the judge told him that he now needs to get permission before filing any more motions. Which I'm not a lawyer, but that's hilarious. I feel like you just got scolded by your parent. Like you've lost your privileges to file motions, which doesn't seem normal. God, his legal team sucks. And look, some of them just legitimately are out of their league, like Alina Haba. But then on the others, I have at least a little bit of sympathy because he's clearly ordering them to do stuff that doesn't make any sense. And what are they supposed to do? Like, I guess they have to do it. But in any event, that's going to be coming up in 12 days. And I want to remind you all of the stakes in this, okay? If he's found guilty, he could spend between 1 and 4 years in prison. And there's reason to believe that could happen because I will again remind you, Michael Cohen already served a 3-year prison sentence on related charges. Like, a guy has already gone to prison and he isn't even the guy who ordered it. He isn't even the guy who had the affair. And by the way, payment of hush money for a non-disclosure agreement is not in and of itself illegal. Okay, it might be immoral or unethical. It's not illegal, but it's the fact that he recorded the expenses as legal fees in the argument of Alan Bragg doing that to help to hide them from people, but also more importantly, to evade campaign finance laws, that's what makes it illegal in this case, more than just, you know, an unethical thing that theoretically has led to a lot of really tense nights with Melania. I don't know, but it's coming up a couple weeks. Sharon, any thoughts about how this could go? I mean, Michael Cohen did go to prison already. What do you think?
I'm just not hopeful. It makes sense, okay? You've laid it out, been very analytical about, well, Michael Cohen, so shouldn't the guy who masterminded it, okay? Usually the hitman tells, okay, and gets a lighter sentence. But in this case, I think Trump can very well be found guilty and I can't wait till Stormy testifies. But as far as punishment and, you know, wearing a jumpsuit or Rikers Island, forget it. It's just, no.
Yeah. No. Don't kill my vibe. But yeah, you're probably right. And look, I don't think it's one of the more serious crimes that he committed. It's top 10 probably, but not one of the most serious. But especially because he wasn't really trying to hide it from us. Like, we already know that he's a dirtball. He was trying to hide it from his voters. They should be mad about this. As always, they're not, but they should be. And in closing, I just want to mention one thing. So the reason that he now has had his motions privileges taken away is that he sought a delay in the trial. And he does this every day, seemingly. And I think we can put this to rest now because the argument from Trump was, I can't be doing all these court dates. I'm running for president. Well, hold up a second there, buddy. You just locked down the Republican nomination yesterday. The RNC's not until mid-July. Looks like you've got like a 3.5-month span where you don't have much you have to do. Sure, you could do rallies, but it's not like you're in the fight of your life against Nikki Haley. You've got this thing. The full general election doesn't start for months. I feel like we should pack your cases in right here because we wouldn't want them to wait until after the RNC. That would truly hurt your ability to campaign against Joe Biden. It seems like now is the perfect time to adjudicate all of this. Based on everything you've said about your schedule, that seems like the inescapable conclusion. That's my thought, Sharon. Any final thoughts before we move on?
I think you're exactly right. Let's get this done. Let's go ahead and adjudicate all of these things. You have nothing pressing to do. He's already said his opponent's unwell mentally. So let's just get it in now, finish it up, and then you guys can go to your corners and we'll figure out the election after that. But you've got to take care of this first. Sounds reasonable.
It does. Joe Biden can go to his corner of the White House and you can go to your corner of maybe a cell. Although probably not for this. I agree with Sharon there. Okay, let's lighten things up and have a little bit of fun, starting with this.
I am looking forward to delivering the Republican response to the State of the Union, so tune in.
President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. This crisis is despicable. And the truth is, it is almost entirely preventable.
And thank you to all the gentlemen behind me who continue to work diligently to actually secure our border. That's what the American people deserve.
The American people are scraping by while President Biden proudly proclaims that Bidenomics is working. Goodness, y'all. Bless his heart.
Bless your heart, Katie Britt. Yeah. You weirdo, you. So look, the reason that we played that for you, this mashup, and by the way, there's a lot more of that going around of how she's seemingly a normal person, and then she does the State of the Union response and seems like a creepy weirdo, is because we need you to know the way she performed for when you see this fundraising post that she sent out, because it is highly disingenuous. So she's trying to raise money. You know, she's an elected official, so that's always top of mind to her. So she sends out an email saying, "I prayed it wouldn't come to this, capital F friend. Following my speech, the far left media didn't waste a second flooding the airways with despicable, disgusting messages about me. They attacked my character. They attacked my faith. They attacked my identity as a mother and a wife. My heart is broken, not for myself. I don't care about myself. I care about the children, my children, your children, and the entire next generation of Americans. Because blah, 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 I didn't prepare a 20-minute speech and say up to Biden for the nations for me. I did it for them." No, you did it for you. Like, you want to be VP and you think that this was a tryout for it. Stop lying. Stop. Why are you such a goddamn liar? That's why you did it. So it's the radical left that's doing it. I wasn't weird and overacting. They're just pretending I was. Well, we played the video for you. And we already know it was not just the radical left that was frustrated with your performance. Republicans critically panned it all over the place. Trump is like one of the only people that gave it a positive review, and you know he's lying. So it's so disingenuous to pretend that people are being unfair. Look, people can be unfair in politics. That's kind of a part of what politics is. And were there disgusting, despicable messages about her? Almost certainly, okay? The internet is a terrible place. It's particularly terrible to women. And so I have no doubt that a lot of that came out there. I'm sure, you know, a lot of the misogynist accounts probably were coming from conservatives. They've been trained to think that that's acceptable by people like you participating in upholding this ideology. But the idea is attacking your character, attacking your faith. No, we pointed out that you're a liar. You lied about human trafficking. You lied about rape. You lied about your positions on IVF. Those are true hypocrisies that you have. That's not us besmirching your faith. It's just us pointing out that you're not living up to the faith that you claim that you have. And much more importantly, at least for the fun part of it, is that you did a really bad job of it in terms of your performance. So you can whine to the people sending you money or whatever. That doesn't make your performance any better. You're not getting an Oscar off of it. What do you think, Sharon?
The only thing that people critiqued was her kitchen and her performance. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really what I heard. I don't doubt there were these other comments, but the narrative was, what is going on, weirdo? Why are you talking like that and putting emphasis on certain words this way? And by the way, who trained you? And didn't anyone in the room say, let's rethink this. Let's go in another direction. Didn't you think, are you sure? Wouldn't you have asked, John, are you sure we should be doing this? Should we be bringing up something that happened under George W. Bush's presidency on the other side of the border? No one kind of talked it out in a war room and said, this is the biggest speech of your life, okay?
Yeah.
This could seal the deal. This is your introduction, baby. No one said that. And now you're fundraising saying that people are attacking you? You behave very strangely.
It's highly weird.
It's just weird.
I don't know. Look, in the end, I don't know if it was her that put that in the speech or if it was an advisor that put it in the speech. I don't know. By the way, why did they do it live? Why didn't they just film it? Like, it's not like there are people in the room responding to her. It's not like you need to pause for applause or something. Why are they making her do it live? Like, I have to imagine that if she had done that, they would have been like, well, that sucked. We can't use that. So now I need you to dial it back 75%. And maybe you would have had something that still would have been hypocritical and full of dishonesty and all of that stuff. But it would have been a better sell of the message. So I don't know why. And it's not just her. Like, the thing that made this so mockable is that the rebuttals are always terrible. Everybody remembers Marco Rubio and his desperate effort.
What was that?
Water live on air and everything.
What was that?
Bobby Jindal walking a country mile towards the camera. It's always weird. Stop doing it without a crowd and do it. Don't do it live. Just record it, okay? And then send it out.
Maybe she insisted. We'll do it live.
Maybe she did. In any event, it remains to be seen how she'll do in terms of fundraising. I remain of the opinion that there is no bad publicity. I bet she will raise a bunch of money off the fact that she did a terrible job. But I already know that Joe Biden did a pretty good job in terms of fundraising, because they apparently raised $10 million in just the day following the address, which is, you know, it's a drop in the bucket of what they need to run the presidential race, but pretty significant for coming off of one speech. In any event, we're going to take a short break, okay? And when we get back, lots more to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Okay, one and all, a couple more stories to close out the hour. If you're just joining us now, please hit the like button if you're on a platform where that actually makes sense. We're going to jump into this.
No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem.
You know, right-wing populism. It's a stupid idea that you'd ever stop working. And I would know. I'm the guy who sits at a desk and talks to a camera. In any event, there is more to his argument, so we're going to give him a full chance to explain himself before we respond. Here's more of Ben Shapiro.
Everybody that I know who is elderly, who has retired, is dead within 5 years. And if you talk to people who are elderly and they lose their purpose in life by losing their job and they stop working, things go to hell in a handbasket real quick. But put all of that aside, just on a fiscal level and on a logical level. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt established 65 as the retirement age, the average life expectancy in the United States was 63 years old. Today, the average life expectancy in the United States is close to 80. It's totally insane that you believe that you should be able to work from the time that you are essentially 20 to the time that you are 65, which is a 45-year period, pay in, and then you'll receive Social Security benefits sufficient to support you and your family, you and your wife or whatever, for like another 20 years.
Okay, so there's a lot. First of all, I'm gonna blow his mind. Hey, Ben, there's a chance that your wife in this metaphor worked for 45 years. What decade do you think it is? Do you know what the economy is like? How many people do you think can just have one person in a marriage working? You just like the idea that the wife hasn't contributed all along. Super weird. In any event, none of his math works out. He says life expectancy is 80. It's years shy of that. And over the past couple of years, he's actually had times when it's actually decreased. But much more importantly than the fact that he got all of these numbers wrong and conveniently got them all wrong in a way that made himself seem more reasonable, we know that when you break it down beyond just overall life expectancy, it doesn't shake out that way for everyone. When you break it down across racial and ethnic groups, life expectancy for Black people in America was only 70.8 years, almost 10% less than the average. I'm sure he wasn't aware of that or how making it so that you have to retire later would impact different racial groups differently. But more important than all of that, at least to me, is he talks about how it was set up. This retirement age was set up decades and decades and decades ago. And now we live a little bit longer than we used to. And it's absurd that you would work for 45 years and then expect that you would have time where you could just live. That's crazy. Here's what I think is crazy. The idea that since the 40s, American workers have grounded out day after day, ever increasing productivity, building the economy that is the shining star of the world, the best economy that's ever been found. And after all of that, no one should expect to live a life that is even 1% better than they had it in 1940. If you only got a couple years before you keeled over then, why would you ever think that you or your kids or your grandkids would ever be better off? Okay, so clearly we just have to make it so that you work longer. Everybody I know who is retired has just died. First of all, check in on your friends then, dude. You're just letting them die. How about this? Rather than just forcing them to work until they keel over on the job, how about we help to instill a culture in America where all of our identity is not necessarily wrapped up in our job? Maybe we could have an identity that's based on more than just that. And much more importantly, he says there's no meaning to life if you don't have your job. Look, if he enjoys his job, it's great that he gets enjoyment out of his job. A lot of people just have to work to survive. And it is just really rich to hear a guy who, as I alluded to earlier, just sits and does what I'm doing right now. He sits in a comfy chair in an air-conditioned room and he talks some crap to a camera for a little bit. Not even that much. He doesn't even work many hours. And then says, well, you should be able to do that in your 70s. Sure, if that's your job, you probably can do that in your 70s because it's about as easy as a job can be. And I know that because that's effectively what my job is right now. But unlike Ben Shapiro, I've worked other jobs. I've worked in other industries. I've worked on my feet. I've worked with my hands. And there are people who've had far tougher jobs than me. And the idea that this condescending little dork is going to tell them that they should work until they're 80, until they finally die of a heart attack on the job, is certainly rich, especially from a guy who purports to represent right-wing populism, the voice of the regular working Joe. Sorry, the working Joe until they die on the job. Sharon, what do you think? I apologize, I have a lot to say about this. What do you think?
I feel like this must be what church is like, because you hit the nail on the head. I wish we lived in an America where you could just follow your passion and not just grind it out, pay taxes, and barely scrape by. That's not the America we live in. And thank you yet again for mentioning people who look like me don't necessarily have the same life expectancy. This guy's a tool bag, okay? And he rather enjoys being a tool bag. Our self-worth is about more than just punching a clock and then getting laid off, getting wages slashed, reduced, whatever, as companies make more and they have these golden parachutes. This guy is just, he loves the dark side. Is this for real or is he playing a part? It's real, isn't it? This is actually who he is.
Look, I think whatever he actually is probably pretty terrible. I mean, look at him. But I think that he is also playing a part. I mean, the point of that segment, okay, is he is there to train his audience to never expect things to improve. He is there to train them that you shouldn't hope to retire. You shouldn't hope to go to college. You shouldn't hope to own a home. Nothing will ever improve for you. Not even the minimum wage will go up by a dollar or anything like that. Things will never get better. They'll likely get worse. But don't worry, because I'm going to talk about how trans people are bad or something. And that'll make you feel better as you're working at 81. That's what he's actually there for. And in closing, by the way, so we did acknowledge, but we kind of glossed over. If a country has a life expectancy that is like 7 years difference, purely because of differences in race, is that not like kind of a thing that we should like look into, like do something about? That seems horrific. And I'm gonna switch it up, you know, thought experiment. If they ran the numbers and it turned out that white people had a 7 year shorter life expectancy, I think it would be discussed in the news every once in a while. I think Fox would do a segment on it. I think that Jesse Waters would dispatch one of his producers to look into those numbers. So anyway, there's a little bit of hypocrisy here. It's not particularly surprising. But anyway, we've got one more. We have 2 minutes. We don't have time, do we? No, I don't think we do. I think we're going to read a few of your comments to close things out. Apologies. We're going to see if we can catch up on these topics in the aftermath. But before I jump into the comments, I do want to say that if you are listening on the podcast, because I know on the podcast you only get this first hour, I want to thank you as always for doing that. But also I want to say that you can go to youtube.com/thedamagereport and get the VODs from the aftermath, and you can watch that. You can see all this bonus content that's happening every day. And I also, I always say that I'm going to read some of the reviews from the podcast, and then I almost never get around to doing it. So I do want to do that. I see that there was a 5-star review from Grapple, who says, Brett is the best, the end. Thank you. It's very nice of you. Flojo said, became a fan instantly during the pandemic. I love John and the various guests that come on the show, including Sharon. He has a way of delivering the mostly negative news that takes over in America since 2020. I appreciate it. We were going before 2020, but it's hard to remember those before times. So anyway, thank you to everybody who rates and reviews the podcast on Apple Podcasts. It is apparently very important for discoverability. So if you do even occasionally listen to the podcast, consider sparing a moment and doing that. I would really appreciate it. Okay, with that said, Dystopian Dragon sent a super chat saying, Ben Shapiro's birthday is January 15th, 1984, the year I graduated high school. So the thing is, he doesn't even get to like Mark Levin or something claim that, you know, well, why would he know what the economy is like? He theoretically has grown up during the same time. But like, does anyone think that Ben Shapiro has ever worked, like truly worked a day in his life? Like work that draws the sweat from your body, that leaves your back aching. Does anyone think that he's ever done that? He reeks of the most I've ever done is sit at a desk. Best case scenario, and often not even that. Anyway, and the Centaur finally says in the super chat, could your producers please stop playing Ben Shapiro clips at 1.5 times speed? Agreed, it is wrong of us to do that. We should not do that. Anyway, that is all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you, everyone. Much more to come with Sharon in the aftermath. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.